Welcome back to House of Bravo, your weekly Bravo recap with a cosmic twist. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader.
And I'm Tasha, an intuitive astrologer, also known as the agent of Pluto.
Well, back at it again.
Yeah, happy. Well, you know, it's really interesting the timing of this last full moon, because, you know, usually post full moon, you kind of like have this release period, you know, and then you kind of go into your week and you recalibrate, LOL Libra season wording. But this week kind of felt a little bit like a changing, or a little bit like this week has just got so much eclipse energy already bubbling, you know? I don't know if you've like necessarily felt it, but like, how was your full moon?
Yeah, my full moon was pretty anticlimactic, but I do feel what you're saying about like eclipse vibes starting to bubble to the surface, and not, it's like in the most subtle way, but I do feel a shifting taking place.
Yeah, I mean, I was like very fortunate, you know, because obviously like I had my retreat last week, or I keep calling it a retreat, but it was really a conference, but it really, you know, was a a spiritual retreat, which is amazing. And I was like out in the desert with like all this fire, all this nature, and it felt very full moon in Aries, like carnal survival and like cleansing and purging and all this good stuff. But obviously, you know, you come back to reality and it's like such a shift. And I feel like this week, obviously, the news around breakups and everything still are, you know, still is kind of going strong. Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner Smith, that one was really sad for me. But there was some significant sort of, I think, effects of the full moon that kind of played out. I mean, like, first off, kicking off the week, we had like that Bethany Frankel, like open letter, open Instagram post. I don't know what you like call these things these days, but I felt like that was a very full moon in Aries post. You know what I mean? And I also feel like it maybe got lost in translation because she has so much hate. I feel like Bethany can never say anything right, regardless if she's apologetic or not, regardless if she's owning her shit or not. Like everything felt very full moon in Aries, Mars on the South Node. Like, let me just sever from my old perceptions. Let me take accountability. You know, Pluto is involved.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to change much. I appreciated it, and it's nice that there was an awareness. But I think like actions speak louder than words. And so while it's nice to have a press release, it's like, okay, but like, how are you going to change moving forward? You still have podcasts and other avenues where you like openly speak negative, or not negatively, but like give your strong opinion, and you are an opinionated person and you do have strong feelings, as we see in your chart and in person. So it's like, okay, cool, but let's see what actually comes of this. But I completely agree. I mean, like, people hate Bethany, people are gonna hate on Bethany. I think a lot of it, unfortunately, does have to do with something similar to Heather, like what Heather's dealing with. They have a lot of money. They're women who have a lot of money. And no matter what you say, it, time and time and time and actions have shown that people turn against women with a lot of money and power. So, I mean, I agree. Yeah. But annoying as fuck and all those things, but she gets a lot of hate that also is unnecessary, but then she puts herself out there for it. So it's like this, just, it's this cycle. And I think she even said that in like part of her statement, like, I'm part of this. I've been part of it.
Yeah. Really interesting. I mean, you know, if I was looking at even just sort of high level transit activity in her chart that day, you know, I was saying like this full moon was definitely a cause and effect type of energy, or catalyzing energy. And, you know, Bethany has her Chiron in Aries at 6 degrees, which was the exact degree of this full moon in Aries, you know. And we've talked about Chiron on the show. It's so much about this wounded healer energy. But, you know, because it's ruled by her Chiron is, you know, being ruled by Mars in Libra, right? And the sun also was on her natal Mars in Libra. We've talked about her Mars and Uranus conjunction as being this sort of warrior on behalf of the people, but how it can be somewhat quite self-serving. I feel like this really was a moment of repentance, or a moment of her trying to take ownership, trying to heal. And, you know, I mean, I'm a Sag moon, right? Like, I'm always going to be eternally optimistic. If you at least can show me that you take ownership and understand the role you play in circumstance, and it's never to, like, you know, dole out the blame to anyone else, this happens or whatever type of energy. Like, I feel like that's so Pluto to me talking, and I feel like I have to give you some credit, and I'm hopeful that, you know, you don't you don't like retreat or revert back to an old version of you, but, you know, it's like part of the human experience, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah. And I don't know if we mentioned this when we talked about her kind of taking up this cause for like reality celebrities and their rights. She has a lot of Saturnian activations hitting her right now, both to her natal Saturn and Saturn is right on her north node in Pisces. Retrograde.
Well, just to like Virgo detail this, she has her north node at like late degree Aquarius, so like 29 degrees. So the Saturn situation is activating, but they're different signs. So it's like an off sign conjunction as well.
Yeah. And I mean, even more so that that her north node's at 29 degrees Aquarius, again, 29th, the most kind of more mature representation of a sign, Aquarius, so much about community, about dismantling institutions and kind of bringing things to the people, which is, you know, what she's trying to do by getting reality celebrities more rights and more kind of protection. Mm-hmm. Like that, bringing the power to them. Even the Bethany clause, the fact that she has a clause named after her, I think is the coolest fucking thing ever. Like, she's such a fucking badass. And as annoying as I find Bethany in the past few years, I do very much respect her as, like, not just a businesswoman, but someone who does do good in the world. Now, that doesn't mean she's a good person in totality, but yeah, I do appreciate Bethany, and she's bringing up important topics and things that do need to be discussed. So I think even if it is in this kind of unhinged, weird way, that's easy to try to villainize. And
yeah,
like I do think that what she's doing is important in some
ways. Yeah, I haven't listened to the Nini podcast yet. I just only saw highlights and summaries, obviously, of that duo. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, they are OGs. They have sort of built these franchises, right? And her, I think who she said, Teresa, Vicky, Nini, and her, like, they should all be on, like, the Mount Rushmore. Bethany's not version of Mount Rushmore, and she's not wrong, you know? And, it is interesting that, you know, you have half the OGs kind of in a bad place with Bravo, and you have half the OGs in a good place with Bravo, at least from that Mount Rushmore. I just think it's interesting, you know, how people choose to continue to go along or to continue to maybe, like, show their lives more. And, like, I think Nini and Bethany, you know, took a big step back around what they wanted to show on TV, or, like, you know, just different strokes, different folks. But, you know, with Mars on the South Node conjunct this week, and it's definitely energy felt by everyone, there is going to be an evolution, a severing of sort of, you know, these old shoulds or old sort of politeness in society or old relationship patterns of behavior, things like that. So wherever Libra is in your chart, there is sort of going to be an actual, almost like cycle breaking, severing. And again, with Pluto's squaring Mars in the South Node, it's a moment that you get to come into your own sense of ownership around these past patterns. How do you want to change the patterns? It's not necessarily breaking, it could be bending in order to restructure. So all that being said, I'm kind of leading up into another sort of side effect of this full moon leading into this week, which was the Beverly Hills trailer dropping, and of course all of us getting to see the impact of the Kyle and Mauricio relationship, scrutiny, drama, rumors.
That's going to be so interesting to watch that devolve over the season.
Devolve is a good word.
We already know about it, so to watch it play out, I think, like, I'm sure I've said on here before, when there's a really spicy looking trailer, it makes me worry that the season's actually gonna suck because they kind of just try to fit it all into the trailer and then it ends up being a cluster. But this is, I think, is an exception to the rule. Like, it seems like shit is actually happening. Maybe things kind of like Shannon that they don't want to be seen, but the cameras are up, and so they have to figure out how to manage it, how to spin it. I think it's, I'm intrigued to see how this is gonna happen, and I'm actually excited, although I say that hesitantly.
I agree with that, and I think this is something we've texted about before. Like, for sure, all these trailers are always just so much better than the actual season itself. So give your trailer editors a huge raise, bravo, because excellent job. And that Miami trailer was also really sick. But you know, going back to the Beverly Hills trailer, I think there was like, there's so many different ways that I kind of want to approach this classic Scorpio rising right now, dissecting. But I think it's really interesting from just like a transit activation perspective. You know, Mercury, post this full moon, you know, was like headed out of Virgo into Libra. It just moved into Libra last night. The trailer dropped, I think, like, what, Tuesday? And Mercury was kind of had just activated Kyle's natal Pluto in Virgo and was kissing the cusp of her third house, you know, the third house of media, the third house of perception. Mercury, the winged messenger, bringing this information. It's something we've all speculated, but Mercury bringing clarity, especially post all the retrograde shadow periods, except Venus is still retracing her final few steps, but you know, she's kind of close to getting out of this situation that she's dealt with all summer long. But you know, Mercury was clear. We cleared the shadow period over the weekend, basically. And boom, what do we get? This trailer around their relationship. You also obviously have Libra season or the sun activating sort of that third house, right? Like for Kyle's chart. So again, her Uranus, her Jupiter, all of that's getting hit. So, you know, not necessarily surprising. The trailer came out the way when it did, timing wise. But I think I was surprised to see how much of it was getting covered in the show. Because I feel like Kyle's really good at that. You know, Kyle's really good at not deflecting. Yeah, putting on a veneer, right? So Leo rising, so Cap Sun, so Libra Moon. But with the nodes shifting into Libra and Aries, I think there's a lot of room for messiness that can be folded into the conversation. And I think that trailer is really reflective of that.
Yeah, I feel like we're in for a lot of Kyle walking off set, so to speak. Because Kyle also, I mean, well, family shit's difficult. It's not just Kyle. I mean, family in general, but we still deal with so many things with Kim, with Kathy, and Mauricio and her have always been that team together. And I think that they're going to stay that team just because they're separating or separated. And even if it continues to go in a way where they decide to part ways more permanently, I do see them forever being in each other's lives and being friends. And like, I know people grow apart. And it's not the end of the world for a relationship to end. They'll remain in each other's lives as like close parties.
I mean, I totally agree with that. And you know, it's so funny, like we've talked about Kyle and Mauricio on the show a little bit. What we've never really like talked about their synastry and stuff, like when the Kyle news broke before, you know, and we, I think that's Mending Fences is the episode, if people who are listening want to go back and refresh their memories or check it out. You know, there were some really compelling things hitting activating Kyle's chart, right? But again, we never necessarily talked about Mauricio and Kyle. And I mean, you know, they have this beautiful Venus ascendant conjunction, like Mauricio's Venus on Kyle's ascendant. You know, that is just not to say they're easy or bad aspects or not good or bad aspects, but Venus on the ascendant, that's like really lovely. And it's very, in theory, harmonious. You know, you also potentially, well, actually, no, you have Mauricio's Jupiter on Kyle's moon. That's some beautiful synastry too. But that being said, you can kind of see where maybe with, you know, Jupiter in Libra, moon in Libra, people pleasing, placating, and with both of them on each other, maybe with each other as well. And this might invite a period where, you know, they can actually be more open and honest about their needs in the relationship and how they would like them to be met versus maybe a certain standard that had been established long ago.
Yeah. I can totally see that. Those Libra placements, both of them want to be with other people also, you know? So like, I just, it expanding into maybe a different type of relationship. I mean, Kyle's Mercury and Aquarius on herself, like on the descendant, you know, seeing relationships in a different way, being open to maybe something that looks a little different.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, and look, air signs, they're, you know, something I like learned from the conference this weekend, like air signs in terms of synastry love differences, love someone that presents a totally different perspective, you know. And so I can, and it feeds into that social element, right? Like your communities, the people you talk to, like you're looking to always just gather, learn information and harmonize and, like, you know, figure out a way forward. So I can definitely see that interpretation too. And I mean, Natalie, Kyle does have her Mercury in Aquarius, as we spoke about before, that Mercury in Aquarius on her descendant, you know? And so Aquarius energy is sort of the most progressive thinking, or, you know, unique, cool individual type of energy. And so not saying one thing or the other, not kind of giving more fire to the fodder, but part of what would be healthy for Kyle to incorporate is sort of a unique perspective from another person in the relationship. And it doesn't have to mean it's in a romantic capacity.
Yeah.
Your seventh house is traditionally a marriage house, but it's really about who you trust. It's your best friends can literally be in your seventh house, y'all. Like your relationship with your best friends too.
Yeah. I mean, it's your relationship with any other. It's not just a romantic house in the least bit. To go back to the air sign Mercury, Kyle's in Aquarius, as we just said, Mauricio in Gemini. And like another thing with Kyle's moon in Libra, like another thing we've talked about, like air signs are very flirtatious, you know, like they like to have mental stimulation. They need a lot of variety. I mean, it's a mutable sign. There's change. So people, again, like they evolve over time. People change over time. We can't expect things to look the same. And only when we do we reach disappointment. So like, honestly, to me, so much of this separation between the two of them, and like you mentioned that he's said this is hard, and like of course it is, because change is hard, but it seems like the who's taking this most difficult is fans and like people more so than the people involved. So that's what I think is really interesting about this whole thing, is it's like our perception of them as this perfect Bravo couple who have been together for so long, who love each other so fiercely, so openly, have this sexual chemistry after all this time. Like people have put them on a pedestal, and now they're saying, you know, things are different. We're not on this pedestal, and it wasn't really fair for anyone to put them there. So like, that's what I find interesting about this whole thing.
Yeah. Audience reaction for sure. I mean, I do think one placement to highlight from what you just said, you know, about how everyone is so invested, like other couples can break up, sure, whatever, but obviously like everyone is so invested in Kyle and Mauricio. You know, Kyle Natalie has that Venus in Pisces. And whenever I think of anything Pisces oriented, you know, again, Venus, the planet of love and relationships, Pisces in the sign of sort of transmuting the collective consciousness, you know, and your relationship kind of feeding into the collective wave and energy and everyone buying into it, right? So there is just that Piscean element, and also her Chiron's in Pisces. So that heartbreak, losing of faith, you know, the signs are co-present. I mean, sorry, the planets are co-present of, well, Venus and Chiron are co-present in the same sign, you know, the heartbreak of her love story and how that feeds into the collective. It's like really interesting to witness or observe, really.
Right. And I mean, we're not sure what time he was born, but we would both gander that his moon is in Pisces as well.
Yeah. Mauricio, the pothead.
Is North Node in Pisces. So yeah, like a lot of perception, a lot of haze, a lot of people wanting this fairy tale view of their love. That's Kyle and Mauricio for you.
Yeah, I it's interesting. This is a more testy, like we're kind of covered all these like really beautiful, like, you know, in theory harmonious, right? But everything can always, you know, have a negative side to it. But there's one challenging aspect I just realized. His Mars in Cancer squares her Saturn in Aries. And her Saturn, you know what I mean? Saturn Aries this year with the Chiron in Aries situation right now, like that square is being activated. So it makes sense that, you know, he came on Dancing with the Stars this week after having like this really shitty his Latin night was so bad. Like, I didn't even watch it. I just saw like snippets of it. And it was just like, oh man, he got like 12 out of like 30. He got the last score, really, really grim. And, you know, at the end he was like, it's been difficult. Like, this has been very challenging. And, you know, Mars in Cancer, like the battle for family and how it might be impacting family, and how, you know, you obviously see like in the trailer, Kyle, Mauricio, and the kids all having a sit down. Like, that's like probably an interesting, or at least like a difficult situation. It feels very Mars in Cancer. And then that squaring Kyle Saturn, you know, her boundaries, her assertiveness, what she wants, what makes her feel alive, her sense of survival, all of these things like being, you know, put into the ether, the energetic ether. So yeah.
I think it's interesting that he would be on Dancing with the Stars right now with all of this going on in his life, you know, like he's got his own Netflix show. He's going through a very public and, according to him, difficult separation. You're already so much in the spotlight. Like, that I find quite interesting, actually.
You know what? I feel like it's because of his Jupiter in Libra. So like, honestly, it's so funny when he first got on the show, I was like, what? And then I looked at his chart. I'm like, oh yeah, it kind of makes sense. It's something interesting. It's something new. And he actually probably is quite talented. Like, Libra is the sign of the artist. He also has that Uranus in Libra, you know? So I feel like it made sense transit timing wise, because with the retrograde this summer, and he has his Venus in Leo, and then the South Node going through his Jupiter, and like Pluto squaring that, like, it's a transformative period for Mauricio. And I kind of think he's stepping out of the box, doing things like he might not necessarily done in the past or come to expect from Mauricio. But like, you know, now it's like, let's just be messy, because this is so South Node to North Node energy right now. It's let's just be really messy and be really real and authentic.
Yeah.
At least hopefully.
Yeah, maybe also like with the North Node in Aries, him trying to kind of break away from Kyle, even though he has that TV show, it's still so very much about like his family and the family business. So this is kind of something where it's just him standing on his own. Yeah.
I kind of like that, because you're right. Even the agency, it's so much about, I mean, to be fair, that is very like entrepreneurial, right? That also is like very headed into North Node in Aries. But like all these things are coming at this point in time where the energy is shifting. So I totally hear you. This is sort of him breaking out, like stepping out, LOL. And I think he said his dad was the Mambo King or something. So I think, it runs in his family. There is some sort of that as well.
Yeah. Also, his Mars in Cancer, I think, is falling in Kyle's 12th house. So it's kind of interesting that he has this TV show, and I'd be curious to know what his rising sign is. This fell in his chart, but he's not able to be on his TV show, his family TV show. She can't even be on it. It's in her 12th house. It's like something that's like removed from her.
Oh, very interesting. I love 12th house transits, your 12th house activations. It's interesting because, to your point, it's Mars in Cancer in the 12th. For her, I wonder if it's letting go of a sense of shying away from yourself. Like, Cancer is so much about, that shyness, but also it's so much about family, how you express yourself, how you can be, like, maybe the invisible person, in your relationship sometimes. So I wonder if he's here to help teach her that.
Yeah.
In some way. And so she can let go. And, this is all part of their evolutionary journey together.
Yeah. Yeah. Because his son's also falling in her 11th house, still in Cancer. And here, like, them together has been so much of her journey as a public figure. I mean, she's been an actor for a long time, but no one was talking about Kyle Richards before she was a housewife. Married to the hottest house husband with that title for so many years. So, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shall we move on to one of the shows from this week?
Oh my God, Roni. I need to talk about Roni because what the fuck is, I've never felt such a visceral reaction to, well, that's a lie. I feel like this has come up many times, but Sai, I'm so sorry. Love, I feel like I'm simultaneously hurting for you and also simultaneously like cringe. You know what I mean? Like, I understand where all of this pain is coming from. I really do. And because of the way you're handling it, I know you have not fully dealt with it because you literally said you would just rather buy a plane ticket, which is so SAG, by the way. I think I like drag some SAGs in my life, including myself. Like, you can't just buy your plane ticket out of this pain, okay? That lunch was so tough to watch, honestly.
I loved the comparison between that and Teddy Mellencamp waiting for who is she waiting for? I don't even remember.
Dorit.
Yes. Dorit. Oh my God. And even a comparison of Dorit to Jessel would be so interesting. I see.
Oh my God.
I see all the similarities on both sides. But Jessel.
Yes.
I mean, sorry, not Jessel. Sai's been difficult for me. I have a feeling she'll be back, but I would like her not to. Whoever was on, I think, Watch What Happens Live with Angie K. I don't know his name, but he's like plays God on some show right now. And he said that like Sai is treating everyone else on the cast like they're the one hit wonders, but she is actually the one season wonder. And I totally agree with that. Like, who wants Sai back? She's bringing a mean girl energy that I don't think is appreciated by many people.
Oh man. You know, okay, I just realized something in Sai's chart and I just like got, oh shit. I just got like really sad, like more sad for her than I like intended to during this recording session. I'll get to that aspect like in a second, but we should have seen this coming, right? Sai has Uranus on her sun, conjunct. It's pretty explosive. And sun and SAG, 0 degrees. We've talked about this before. It's like 0 degrees is almost like a baby having these superpowers that you have no idea what to do with. So you're just going to direct and not aim necessarily or be discerning with how you aim. And then Uranus in Scorpio, you know, the moment your vulnerability comes under attack, it just is going to come out in this unleashing of energy. I mean, I remember when I was fresh off my dad's passing, like way back when, and I, like, people could say like the most minor things and try to relate to me, and I would literally light their house on fire with my words. Like, it was so bad, you know, and not to say it's bad. Everyone grieves and it's part of the process. And, you know, unfortunately, it's something you do learn, and it's something I do keep in tucked in the back of my mind. And so I think that's why it's so triggering for me to watch Sai, because I feel like she reminds me of a lesser version of myself that used to be this person that would be really overtly feeling as if my pain and suffering was not actually acknowledged meaningfully. And it was because I hadn't acknowledged it meaningfully for myself. Yeah. But Uranus Sun, pretty bombastic usually type of a placement.
Yeah. She's got Neptune in Sagittarius, and we've talked about this because it is a generational placement, but it's this thinking that like you, like, it's okay, Sagittarius, the thinker, the philosopher, the I know better than you are, and with Neptune there, this delusion that your perception is the correct one, really difficult for you to see other people's perspectives. Even though she's like Libra heavy, it's like it's not the placements that's gonna make her necessarily relate to someone else, except for maybe like that Venus in Libra. So yeah, it's just like, I think it is hard for her to see anything outside of herself and this kind of narrow view of her reality.
Yeah. I mean, she also has that Mars in Capricorn at 0 degrees. So another, like, it's very nascent energy again. And Mars in Capricorn is like superhero type of energy. You know, it's very resilient. It can withstand everything. Like, Mars is like exalted or in Capricorn, you know, I think. And it's, you definitely see it. She's struggled and been able to achieve and succeed and climb the mountain despite having nothing. What I found interesting too, to think about this in the context of like how she has her Chiron in Taurus, opposing her Mercury in Scorpio as well. That insecurity about resources, right, is something really, really that's deep within her. And food insecurity, I can see that being a huge thing as well. And, you know, she has her, we've never talked about this on the show, and this is something I also like learned from the conference this weekend, which, can you tell how amazing I felt after it? She has Ceres, which is like a dwarf planet, but, you know, planet, it's chill, in Cancer. And, you know, there's so much about the rhythms of your mothering. Thank you, Thea, for introducing this concept to me. But the rhythms of your mothering can be noticed within your series. So series and then your sign. So in Cancer, so much about the past. And if Sai's past was so rooted in such, you know, destitution and food insecurity, you know, she's joking about food and being hungry all the time. But that comes from a really real place. You know what I mean? And that was what made me feel extra sad noticing that placement in her chart.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything. There's a lot of hurt and struggle in this chart. But as we started, I think as you started this conversation, she's in this such a low vibe expression of these placements, because these could be manifesting in such a completely different way, in a nurturing way, in an understanding way, in a wanting to relate and connect and so I think that it would be nice if she stays on to see some evolution with her, despite that in Sagittarius. Like, I'd like to see some growth and not just this tough exterior that she has up. And I don't think that that is just for the show. I think that that is true to how she shows up in her life.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. But, you know, nevertheless, I do think that this was one of the more intriguing episodes for Roni. Like, I think this is, you know, like the sunglass fight, sure, whatever, another fight. But this, I felt, has just a lot more substance between Jessel and Sai. But also, LOL, Sai and Aaron going on this couple's date early in the episode to one of my favorite brunch places. So no one, please don't blow this spot up. Their brunch is like really affordable and like their micheladas are really good and it's right off the L. So like, please no one fucking go here. But the way they were just talking about Jessel, as if Jessel, like Jessel can do no right. Parveet can do no right. If he goes on a mileage run, apparently that's just going to be heavily under scrutiny as well. But if you look at his fucking Instagram page, it's all about travel and flying first class and taking pictures of these things in the plane. So I'm just like, if you want to gossip about someone, at least do better research, you know? I know you got that Mercury in Scorpio, Sai.
Okay, yes. I haven't been to his Instagram. I can see why people think it's odd. But I mean, the whole Jessel getting shit for everything from she can't do anything right. And I don't like it. It's like it's just all the things together, right? It's like you haven't had sex in all this time. And now he's going to Vietnam and their heads are going to a place where I can understand why your head would go there. But you don't need to keep bringing it up. Like, leave the fucking woman alone. And if she's okay with it, this is my same issue with why everyone's going after Jen, although slightly different because there's something to back that up. But in Orange County, like, she knows the facts about Ryan. Let it go. Jessel knows that she hasn't had sex. Jessel knows that her husband is taking a trip to Vietnam. If she's cool with it, then you need to fucking be cool with it. Because honestly, for all you know, and I'm not saying anything about either of these situations, but people have arrangements in their relationships. I don't know, just leave it the fuck alone. Let people do their thing. If their spouse does
that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're giving me more than any other couple house situation right now on Roni. Like, you know, Jessel and Parveet, like, they're awesome. And I actually really love their dynamic together and the way they can, like, joke with each other. And, like, you know, it just feels natural. And I'm appreciative of it. And it's so funny because obviously I feel like I, you know, first impressions of her were just so, like, whoa, what? And then as the season grew on, it was like, you really did see so much of her unfold, or at least I feel that way. I don't want to speak for everyone, but tank tops clearly are into, you know, like, I feel more sympathetic to her, and I like her. I love her as a housewife. I've like come to full blown appreciate her as a housewife, and her and Uba have a really beautiful connection on the show too, I think, in some ways, you know, like, especially at the healing, they were lying down and, like, you know, Jessel was next to Uba and her reaching out to grab, and then, like, Sai's just kind of looking, and I'm sure maybe they probably, you know, didn't show the whole thing and how maybe other women might have been comforting her as well, but just even that instinctual Jessel grabbing her, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So Torian, right? Like, you reach out to by touch to make someone feel comfortable because that makes you feel comfortable. Yeah.
Although, like, going back to what you said about not necessarily liking her at the beginning and now she's become like a favorite of yours, I am not sure that that change would have happened had she not been under attack by everyone else, because it really ripped down her walls, immediately makes you vulnerable. Like, you have very little to hide. In that instance, even Heather, I mean, Heather, who again on OC, like, always has such a veneer, as you said earlier, up, like, she broke this season, and it's like when everyone is against you, she cracked, and we saw emotion from Heather that actually seemed genuine and I mean, even on the reunion, she was like, I have my breakdown is scheduled for this weekend, so you won't see me crying today. Like,
oh my God.
Has that ability. Like, that was a joke, but she also has that ability with all that Capricorn. I don't have her chart pulled up right now, but like a ton of Capricorn. She just has that ability to similar to Aquarius, kind of detach yourself from that emotion and that side of you. But at a certain point when you're just so broken down, that all comes away. So all that to say, I think that that happened with Jessel. I think while it probably sucked for her to go through that, it probably could have been was the best thing that could have happened for her on her first season of Housewives.
Yeah, totally. And then, yes, to your point, Heather's very cap a lot. And she also has Mercury in Aquarius. That's the only thing I wanted to say as well. So there's that detachment, the cool detachment. Okay, yeah, so I feel like we just covered Roni and Orange County. So let's move on to Salt Lake. How are we feeling about Salt Lake?
I'm like kind of on the fence about Salt Lake. I feel like it started off with a bang and like really came out strong. And now I like am struggling to even remember the episode. And I think I watched it yesterday. It's just like, what even happened? I remember Whitney, but I feel like Whitney just fights with everyone now.
Whitney was trying to have a conversation with Monica, but Whitney, I think also is, oh my God, I keep having Mary's like little girl remark come. Cause like Whitney thinks she's a mastermind and a master strategist, I think, but she's really not, you know? It's quite youthful energy, you know, for her in her chart. And I think she's still learning how to come into her own like this. And it's just happening so messily. But I think I saw some Instagram thing where it's like Whitney is showing all her cards to Monica, basically someone who she hasn't seen, she doesn't really know. And Monica is the type of person that's going to hold that information. And as we've seen in her chart, like kind of like, I feel like maybe use it as an opportune moment or like kind of just, she's going to store all those secrets. But yeah, interesting conversation.
Yeah, the youthful energy. She's got her moon in Chiron in Gemini. And then like to say she's showing all her cards up front, she's a Leo.
Leo rising.
From what we gander.
And, yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of funny that she's again like kind of putting herself on that center stage, laying out all the facts. Leo's like, they have the best intentions often. It's like they want to do good, they want to help out. But you're being, as you said, kind of naive. And you know, Whitney should know better because she does have that Venus in Scorpio. So maybe what we're taking as being naive is really some mastermind plan. Because while I agree with you that she's not the mastermind she thinks she is, she still thinks she is a mastermind. So like she could be trying to lay groundwork that will later be like a pot that has been previously stirred.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very fair. That's very fair. And, you know, Whitney also has Mars in Capricorn. That's also a really, really strategic placement. But, you know, damn, she does have her South Node in Libra, right? Like, she is going through her nodal return right now. And that energy kind of leading into the filming of the season. So maybe this is her attempt at really kind of being honest and just laying everything out there. And because maybe she used to, like, hide a little more, like feel like and then run into a lot of trouble, so why as well just speak the truth, quote unquote.
It was, I don't know, the whole thing, I like, now it's coming back to me slowly and I'm remembering that.
Yeah,
Monica and was like, what do you know the rumor, do you know the rumor, I know the rumor, oh, we have to tell her the rumor. So like, it's like, just because Meredith says she knows a rumor doesn't mean you need to bring it out on camera, Whitney. You know, and she's like saying that she's being Angie's friend, but is she, or is she just a little tipsy and like, you know, trying to be a little mischievous?
Or, you know, she kind of understands her role in the show, right? Like Whitney gets that she is this pot stirrer, whether she wants to admit it or not. Like, other people are more bombastic. You have people who are detached. You have people who are, you know, Lisa throwing her own part. Like, and her role is this character, this type of person that earnestly, like, she kind of gives me like Ashton Darby vibes a little bit, actually, too. Maybe with the Gemini energy, maybe with, you know, I think Aries has like a, sorry, Ashley has like an Aries moon, and that's like Aries Libra type of similar, you know, axis type of energy. If you're getting, if you have a low vibe Libra, it's almost like, you know, you definitely see some of that Aries quality play through. So like, you know, I can kind of see that for Whitney. So maybe she, yeah, maybe she is the fucking mastermind. She knows her role better than we know her role on the show, right? And she's playing into it because this is, you know, still a business thing, still a business move. It what lends, like, you know, she's trying to launch her other ventures and things like that. She has two businesses and whatnot, and Justin just got this job. So like, you know, there is this element of, I need to secure my role on the show.
Yeah. I said last week that I don't understand why they brought back Mary, but I'm going to retract that. Mary being bored as fuck and not participating. Like, yeah, it's,
oh gosh,
that's needed, because I think this episode was lame, but it was worth it for Mary to call out Heather on her necklace so unnecessarily. And it's like, it's,
oh my god,
like, I, Mary herself, her looks are hit or miss, you know, like, it's a very interesting
perspective
that she has in her wardrobe. So yeah, I just thought it's funny for her to be, I mean, it's very Mary, of course, but I found it funny.
Yeah, I, you know, it's, I feel like there were just these two very Libran moments in the show, but also because Mary has an Aries moon, you kind of see that Libran, usually reservedness or like measuredness, politeness, polite dishonestiness come clearly. So with Heather, it's like, yeah, even though, you know, maybe Libra would be like, oh, that's nice, and like maybe keep how they really feel about it, like the Aries moon's out being like, no, that just is not working, like, at all, this is terrible. And then the second time you see it is when she's having a conversation with Monica about eating, you know. Yes. And like, you know, with that was so, like, it just reminded me of, like, I feel like what my aunts or whatever would say to me as a child, like, you know, like, don't eat too much, you can't just keep eating, like, all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh my god, let the girl live.
Well, Mercury in Scorpio is aspecting her Venus in Virgo. So it's like, Mary's got a perception of what beauty is, and in Virgo, like, she's able to control how she portrays that beauty, and, you know, aspecting that Mercury in Scorpio, that could cut deep. And, you know, like, Mary just doesn't hold back. She's going to say what she wants to say.
Yeah. And here's the thing, I feel like these are all things she probably received as well on the receiving
totally end. Even if it's just coming from herself, I mean, and with that Aries moon, like, Aries just say, it's like, this it just comes out, you know, like, it's,
yeah,
she's gonna say what's on her mind, and it's in opposition to her Mars in Libra, so it's just this, like, yeah, kind of lack of diplomacy.
Yeah, definitely. Like, full moon babies are no joke. I mean, obviously, like, the most famous full moon baby, I feel like, is Ramona, lol, from Housewives Land. So, you know the type of energy they bring with, and you know why we all love them on our TVs. Actual person, you know, in terms of, like, your personal philosophies and things like that aside, like, they are very energetic and they are very entertaining. And they are, yeah, full moon. That's all I got.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, on that note, what I would say is, it's eclipse season. Don't necessarily overexert. It's a lot of energy that's being put out right now. But, of course, we're also moving into Scorpio season soon. So, you know, definitely try to take care of yourself Remember to nourish your own flame within.
I feel like eclipse season is one of those times where you just like get on the roller coaster and go along for the ride. You don't have to mm-hmm. anything. You don't have to like push for anything. Just kind of sit back and respond to what life brings to you.
And of course, if you're feeling particularly run down and are in search of some amazing Bravo Pop Astrology content, you know, you can follow us along at the Cosmic Clubhouse on Instagram.
And go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And we will see you back here next week.
Stay tuned. Bye.